It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the horn of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Friends, it's great to be with you. Today, we're going to continue our series, The Mystery of the 153 Fish. What an amazing prophetic story in the Bible. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than this story because, well, I'm not going to give it all away. I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait till the sermon here begins, because this is one of the more exciting series we've ever had on Bible Home Church. It's the story of you and me and our destiny. And the fact that Jesus, He knows where you are, what you're doing, what you're like, everything about you. He's got every hair of your head counted, every corpuscle numbered. He's got, He knows every little freckle or blemish or beauty spot on your body and in your mind. He knows how many electrons fire per millisecond. I don't know how to describe His great knowledge, but He is the mathematical genius of all time. The arithmetic of God is fantastic. And He knows right where to draw you up from the dryness, take you into the depths of the sea. And I'm talking about the spiritual nourishment that you need, those living waters. He talks about those who are thirsty can come and drink. And now we have an illustrative sermon right from the Bible of prophecy where Jesus compares you and me, saints of God, to fish. Now you may say, I don't like that. I don't like to be compared to a fish. Well, you have to consider. There are many symbols in the Bible. I mean, we have horns and lions and leopards and oh, it goes on and on, the symbols in the Bible. Bears, stars, dragons, dogs, they're all found in the Bible. And many times they have symbolic meaning. And God has found a lot of things in fish. One time, He directed one of His disciples to pull a fish up out of the water, and he had a coin in his mouth. That was something of value. How did it get there? Only Christ knows the answer to how that coin got in that fish's mouth. That's a miracle, but there's other miracles. 153 fish. I suspect you will have never heard a series of sermons like you'll hear today. And by the way, it'll be a great blessing to you. I know it has to be because it comes from the Word of God. And no matter who preaches it, like a Tex Mars, no matter how deficient they are, no matter how insignificant or unable to preach they are, if a man or a woman simply use the Word of God, they'll break through barriers. We have so many stories in the Bible of people who thought they couldn't do it. But friends, when you know Jesus Christ, you're like that little kid's story, the little engine that could. You know, you can't do it yourself, but boy, behind you is one big locomotive. And He can push you and take you anywhere. And that's the story of the 153 fish you're going to hear. Now, we always have some beautiful music. And by the way, we always also want to encourage you to write us. And we love to hear negative and positive letters. So if you've got a criticism, well, I guess I'll have to just read it. I don't get very many. I can't remember when the last criticism we received from a Bible Home Church. Maybe I'm not doing things right. Usually when you get criticism, it means you're usually doing things right. You know, the more people, you know, try to torment you, it means more the devil's after you. Maybe I'm not doing things right. Maybe I need to start preaching on hellfire and brimstone to get those letters of complaint coming in. So people can call me names like old-fashioned, obsolete, you know, Neanderthal. Oh, yeah, I like those kind of letters, but we haven't got any like that lately. I think I've been too soft. I'm getting too... Yeah, that's it. I'm worried about me now. I tell you, folks out there, you got to pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm headed the right direction. I'm not making anybody mad. If you don't make anybody angry, I'm not sure you're working for God. I mean, I don't think I'm working for the adversary, but it's just that I'm not getting anybody angry. Any preacher out there worth his salt, if everybody sits in the pews just contented every Sunday and they don't get mad at him, why, he's not accomplished anything. It's only when he touches their lives intimately and convicts people of sin, now that's when he's doing his job. But if he just speaks with smooth lying tongues and makes everybody feel real fuzzy and good and warm, well, that's nothing. I don't want to make people warm. I want to make them hot under the collar. And they'd say, oh, that's not right, Tex. Why, it's okay to do those things today. We're living in a modern age. Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, let me talk about the Bible versions for just a moment. Those satanic New Age Bible versions. The RSV, the ASV, the ASB, the NIV. They're all baloney. They're all satanic. They are. You need to read Gail Ripplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions, to understand that. Better yet, just compare those Bibles with the true Bible, the King James. Hey, there was a mini sermon. I'll bet you I get a few letters off of that. I know people that have bought into these false Bible versions. Oh, yeah, they'll write me. See there? Yeah, that'll make me feel good that I'm really doing something for the Lord by getting these negative letters. Just by telling the truth. Well, anyway... I'm working on a sermon now called In Search of Iron Men. In Search of Iron Men. There used to be iron men in the Christian church. They stood for something, and women, by the way. They stood for something, and they refused to budge. In the Old Testament, you read verses like, I've set my mind like flint. In other words, boy, straight ahead like an arrow. No, they're not going to go off the path. Don't try to convince them of something new-fashioned or, you know. No, they're going to stay right there with the ancient landmarks of the faith. They're not going to budge. They don't care how much money or advantage it gives them. They don't care how much suffering they have to take. They are not going to change from the true path of God. Iron men. I was reading a quotation recently. It said, once upon a time, there were wooden ships and iron men back in another day. But now, in this day, the 21st century, there are iron ships and men are made of less than wood. Straw. And straw, of course, is fit for nothing but putting into bales and burning. In Search of Iron Men. In the Old Testament, God said he was looking for someone who could stand in the gap. In the Old Testament, God and his beast, and I call him beast very liberally because a beast can be either a bad beast or a good beast. And these are the beast, meaning they're creatures that we don't even know what they are. They're not really men. They're not really angels, but they're the beast around the throne. Oh, there's some strange creatures in heaven. I think everybody's going to be shocked when they get up there. Not malevolent, not evil creatures. I mean holy creatures. Creatures that cry out, holy, holy, holy to God around the throne. I tell you, talk about Star Wars, but these will be pleasant creatures. wouldn't hurt a fly except enemies of God. And then those, watch out, they will destroy. But God, you know, asked, who will go for us? Whom can we send? God was searching for iron men back then. Searching for iron men. And you know what? Every once in a while he found one. And I recall that. I remember Elijah complaining. He wasn't bragging on himself. He just said, Lord, there's nobody left but me. I bet he was bemoaning. I bet he was, in a way, he was thinking, goodness gracious, it'd be nice to have a friend to stand by beside me in this fight against evil. A life-threatening fight, by the way, in terms of his mortal life. Because the king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel, wanted to kill him for preaching righteousness. And he said, Lord, there's nobody left but me to stand up for truth. I'm sure he was crying out in his loneliness. And God said, oh, no, wait. You just haven't met them all. There are 7,000 more. 7,000 more. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands or millions were in the whole nation of Israel. But God had reserved 7,000 iron men and women. That's what I call them, iron men and women. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, adding that. So we'll understand it in our human terms. It doesn't say iron men in the Bible. But that's what he was looking for. People he could call on. People who would stand in the gap. People who always had their eye on the Lamb and would not divert from that path. He was looking for them. And he found 7,000. And he reserved them. I like that. Oh, my. God had reserved them. Friends, you ever go into a restaurant and they reserved a table for you? If the restaurant manager was your good friend and he said, don't worry, Joe, don't worry, Sally, I'll reserve this wonderful table for you. So I've got a table with a view. It's a beautiful table. You show up at the appointed time and he's given to somebody else. Wow, that'd make you mad. Well, God doesn't do that. He reserves a place for you up in heaven. And it's the best. It's always, every table is a good one up there. Every mansion. And he has reserved it. He's reserved it. You're chosen. And that's what he told Elijah. Elijah wasn't alone. He just hadn't met them all. I wonder if sometime that's not true here in our ministry. I begin to wonder, where are the iron men and women? Where are they? I'm tired of the vessels of wood and straw. I want the iron. I need some help here. I mean, the floodgates have been open and I'm about to drown. I mean, I'm taking on water. I'm about to sink. That's what I think, you see. That's in my human thinking. That's because I need to have more iron in my will. It really wouldn't matter if Elijah was the only one left. What do you think? Didn't matter if he was the only one. What if God said, that's right, Elijah, you're the only one? So what? He's the only one that would do it. So what? Let him get all the blessing. But it wasn't even true. I suspect right now there are 7,000 at least out there listening. Somewhere. 7,000 iron men and women. We're going to talk about this subject in depth. I don't want to go too far into it but right now, but it really intrigues me that God reserved out of the whole depths of the ocean 153 fish only. There must be billions out there in the ocean. But in this one place, at one time, he brought them all together, all the people that he had reserved symbolically as fish, and put them there together. I don't know how many the number 153 stands for. I think it's a symbolic number. It could be 7,000, could be 144,000. But I do know this. God reserved them from the foundation of the world. He knew them. He foreknew them. They were predestined for glory with God. And nothing could stop those 153 fish from showing up at their appointed time in history. At that moment, they had to be there. And you know what? Earthquakes under the seas, cyclones, hurricanes atop the sea waters, giant sea beasts, from whales to giant electric eels to whatever's down there in the depths of the sea that hasn't even been found, to sharks. Nothing could stop these 153 fish, and nothing could hurt them. They could not be touched. They were going to show up where they're supposed to be. They may not even have known where they were going, but God had an appointed place for them. Friends, this is the most amazing story of all time, the mystery of the 153 fish. And all you have to do is say, okay, Lord, I want to be one of those iron men. I want to be one of those iron women. And it might even help if you say, but Lord, I am not able in myself. I'm like a turtle without its shell. I'm like a crustacean shellfish that has no strength. I'm a soft person. I need some iron in my veins. I need some armor, as Paul said. Help me. And guess what? God will help you. You don't have to be strong. That's what I like about Christianity. All these other religions, they say you got to do all these works. You got to have the willpower. You got to be strong. But when God looks for iron men, what he's really looking for is people who say, I cannot do it, God. I need you. That's a big difference. The world is looking for people who are supermen. But Jesus is looking for humble men, men who will debase themselves, who will say, Lord, in and of myself, I cannot do anything. You admit that to God and cry out and say, please, will you help me? Wow. Then comes the strength. Then comes the hedge of protection. And man, what a wave of power that is. Well, Janet Paschal has a beautiful song. It's on one of those Gaither albums. It's called Take This Trip Beside Me. If you'd like to write to us, hey, I'd like to know if you're praying for us. Are you one of those people that God has given a sheet of iron? Do you want to be one of those? Write to us. We'll pray for you. If you need more iron in your veins, we'll pray for it. We'll pray that God will give it to you, because we certainly need you on our side fighting this last day's battle. If you're able to send love gift or offering or tithe to this ministry, love to have your help. But I know one thing. I know even if you don't have a dime, you can pray for us and let us know you're praying for us. And let us also know if you've got a prayer need. It would be our great privilege to pray for you. And God will answer our prayers as he does yours, of course. All right. Janet Paschal, Take This Trip Beside Me. And then today we're going to continue our series of the mystery of the 153 fish.
This world is just a bridge to hell. Life is just a trial trip we're on. We may see fourscore years and seven before we ever find our way back home. So Jesus, this trial trip beside
Verse 47 of Matthew 13 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Here is a parable that Jesus spoke about. Okay? This is even before he died and was resurrected. He's talking about a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Here's another picture of the last days. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. It cast into the sea. And you know what? In this particular case, it's a little bit different than in John 21, the story of the 153 fish. Here, this net catches everything, the good and the bad fish. And there are probably all kind of things in there. Probably some sea eels and some sharks and some jellyfish and all kinds of things. Some of them bad. Evil. And then there was, of course, the good fish. It was full also. It was drawn to shore. But then once this net, which was full, was drawn to the shore, they sat down and gathered the good into vessels. The good fish was put into vessels, but the bad things brought up from the sea were thrown away. And that's how it'll be at the end of the world, friends. These last days, the angels are going to come forth and the good will be taken in the net, and everyone that Jesus calls will be brought up and will be safe. And the number 153 is symbolic of His church, His people in the last days. But of those whom He has not called, the wicked of this world, the bad, it says here, they shall be cast into hell. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among. That means to separate the wicked from among the just. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, the question is, how do you know if you're the 153 of the 153? And what is the meaning of this mysterious number? Well, I've got some good news here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28 says, he declared, there is a God in heaven who revealeth secrets and maketh known what shall be in the latter days. There is a God in heaven. He reveals secrets. He will make known to you what shall be in the latter days. And listen to me, friends. Only those who have the wisdom of God given by Him, not anything that they've done of themselves, not some college course they've taken, not some secular book they've written, not some scientific program they've studied, but if you have the wisdom of the Holy Ghost put into your heart, then you are wise and you shall understand these things in the last days. That's why I'm here. It's not because I've got two college degrees. It's not because I've read thousands of secular books I have. It's not because I've taught for two or three universities. Those things I learned stupid information from. But today I'm telling you about what God is saying to us. He is revealing a secret, the mystery of the 153 fish. It is God's pleasure to reveal these things to you, but not to the world. Not to the world. They're not going to understand this. They're not going to understand the meaning. Now, I want to tell you what happened to me over the Christmas holidays. I was home and I had a dream. Not just one dream, but it occurred three times. The same dream. Now you may say, uh-oh, now Tex is going to get into it. Oh, he's going to tell us he had some kind of prophetic dream. I don't believe in that. God doesn't do that for people today.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.